Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. Our guest today is Daniel Andrews, and he is a native of Columbia, South Carolina, where he currently resides after an absence of 13 years. He owns two businesses, one creating and convening a total of four business growth communities. Two are local to him, and they meet monthly in person. The other two are national in scope and meet digitally once a month. The other business involves supporting people with a roadmap and guiding them along the path from casual business card exchange to very profitable referral relationships. Now, fundamentally, Daniel shows business people how to stop networking, quote unquote networking, and start to build true networks. This is his fourth career. He's been successfully self-employed for 35 years. Now, of those 35 years, 49, if you start with the lemonade stand in first grade that he had. Daniel, that was awesome. Welcome to the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. How are you today?
I'm really good.
Fantastic.
I am. Yeah.
Fantastic. Let's talk about building a network. Now, I want to divide this into several categories.
Sure.
Let's talk about people who are not networking right now. Okay.
Okay.
And for those people, let's define what networking is. In your words, what exactly is network? I had a podcast, several podcasts before, and we talked a little bit about networking. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's we know that it's building relationships, but let's dive deeper in it and get your take on it.
Sure. I appreciate that. And I'm smiling right now because this is something that I actually put a lot of thought into. The first thing I will say is that networking as a verb is whatever you already think it is. And what I mean by that is I wouldn't call it networking, but it's easier to let you have your definitions and you've got them. You can keep them. My analogy is if I say the word mother, whose do you think of? Yours or mine?
Right.
Yours. You don't know my version of mother, right? So when you say, when I say, or the word networking comes up, no matter who uses it, you have your own set of associations with that. I make a distinction between whatever you think networking is. I like networking. I hate networking. I go to networking groups. I used to belong to a networking group. I'm not very good at networking. I'm very good at it. And the act of building a network. A network to me is a noun. And I spell it with a capital N because I mean something very specific by it. I mean, my English teacher from high school would choke, but that's incorrect. But a network to me, used as a noun in relation to what I show people how to do, your network is the people who will return your call.
Okay.
As my friend Suzanne Taylor King says, just because you are in their phone doesn't mean they will answer their phone.
That is right. And it's just like, you know, having a website. Just because you have an amazing website doesn't mean you're going to pull people to that website.
Correct. Right? So everybody that's not part of your network is a connection. There's nothing wrong with connections. Connections, people have to be aware of you to become a connection. They have to be a connection to grow into your network. You can do business with connections. Some of them may hire you. You may hire some of them. You may refer them. They may refer you. There's nothing wrong with connections. But just because somebody has seen you once or you've traded business cards or they're connected to you on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest or wherever does not mean that you have the credibility nor they with you to feel comfortable about sending referrals.
That's right.
I love people say, I just, you know, grow my network on LinkedIn in order to get referrals. And I'm like, until you've spoken to somebody and built trust, you're not going to get. Now, I may get an introduction. Hey, Claudine, you were telling me the other day that you needed somebody that did the XYZ thing. I just met one the other day on LinkedIn. We traded a couple of texts. I can't say much about her, but if you want to pursue that, if you think you might, she might have what you need, go there. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
That's a connection. But if I'm like, oh, you said you need the thing. I got a guy that does the thing. Mm-hmm. Here, let me introduce you to him and tell him that you're my friend and he should be doing business with you. And I'm telling you right now, Claudine, he knows what he's talking about. You should be doing business with him, right? That's network. There's nothing wrong with connections, but until they've elevated, until you've helped elevate them in your world to the level of trusted network, you really don't have that much going for you and not much likelihood of getting a referral. You may get introductions, but an endorsement and a referral is a very different concept. to me.
I am so glad that you separated those terms, because introductions are so very different than building trust and having trust, therefore leading to that networking, your network. Okay, yeah. Daniel. So sticking with people who are not necessarily networking, you know, why are so many people bad at networking? I come in contact with people all the time that don't like to network. They're shy, they say. Why do you think people are so bad at it?
I think there's a couple of categories, you know, that lead to that. One is there are a certain percentage of the population that are introverts. That doesn't mean they don't like people. They just don't like crowds of people. Or to phrase it even better, the definition of introvert is somebody who is drained by being around people and needs to go recharge. The definition of extrovert is somebody who gets their energy from being around people. So it's not a question of, do I like people? Do I not like people? Am I good in a crowd? Am I not good in a crowd? It's just a question of whether that's creating or sapping energy, right? To speak right. Very clearly, definition. But if so, people who aren't naturally energized by those environments may withdraw. People who don't get the results that they want may become frustrated and think they're bad at it, or that other people are bad at it, or they're in the wrong spaces, when they really just don't have a couple of the key tools that you need to make those spaces or those interactions count for something. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I get fairly philosophical in terms of, you know, what people could and should be doing differently. And when I say philosophical, I don't mean not practical. I mean, in my core, I'm like, there's a right way to do this.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's very important. But if you're not seeing the results that you want, then it's very easy to decide, I don't want to or don't need to be spending my time that way. Mm-hmm. And because they don't have a roadmap for getting the results they want, it's very likely. And then the other part of it is the people they're around are bad at it. And the primary reason I think most people don't get the results they want or quote bad at it is because they only have one modality of interacting with other people, and that is the customer modality. I meet you, Claudine, in my head, I'm going, are you going to buy from me? Am I going to buy from you? Yes, no, maybe. Next. Are you going to buy from me? Am I going to buy from you? Yes, no, maybe. Next. You're going to buy, right? They're using a speed prospecting mm-hmm. modality much more than a networking, right? Here's a pretty decent definition of low-level networking. I was at an event that I'm at very frequently. The way my brain works, it actually can pay attention to what's going around me if I'm actually scrolling Facebook, which my wife still doesn't believe, and I may spend a lifetime trying to convince her that's true. But this guy walks up to me. He comes through the door. He walks up to me, and he says, clearly, you know everybody here because you're scrolling Facebook instead of introducing yourself. And I was sent here to look for Dirk Brown, and if you're not him, I bet you can tell me who it is. And I said, you are correct. I said, number one, I frequently get mistaken for Dirk Brown. So it's actually kind of coincidental you said that to me. Yeah. And I said, but number two, I'm probably one of the only people here that actually has Dirk Brown's cell phone number in my phone. What do you need him for? I will get his permission to forward you his number, right? Until I trust this guy, I'm not going to create the three-way text thread. That's but I will right. reach out to Dirk and say, this gentleman was trying to reach you about XYZ. Here's his info, may I share yours? And that's the whole thing about introductions and where the credibility level is. But see, he didn't approach me to say, are you Dirk Brown? Yes, no, I'm out of here, right?
Right.
He approached me on the principle that I probably wasn't the resource that he needed,
yeah.
but I could show him where it was. Now that's a very immediate, literal and close proximity. Either Dirk is there or he's not, mm-hmm. right? sort of a thing. So, but that's legitimately leveraging a network. I don't need you. I need you to introduce me to the people that I need.
That's right. Okay. Now, Daniel, I want to say this too. There are speed networking seems to be very popular. You know, mm-hmm. people come in and they network super fast and think that they can refer someone or introduce someone. I mean, you can make an introduction, but again, networking is about building those relationships, right?
So absolutely.
Are there groups that someone could join, you know, leads group, or what are the pros and cons of those groups?
I kind of wish we were doing a visual, but because I actually have a whole, you know what, I'll put my link to my visual. So I won't give this whole yes. talk during this, but I'll make sure that we let people know how to get in touch with me so that I can share with them. I do a standing visual workshop online via Zoom. Where I really explain some of the differences, but I'll touch on that. So the first thing to know is that in any group or gathering, you cannot build trust and relationship. You can do one of two things, or nothing, of course, is always an option. And by that, I mean, get no results. But one thing you can do is start to select who you want to build trust and relationship with. Okay. So the seeds of networking can start at a networking event. The other thing you can do is maintain a relationship. Meaning, if you've already built some degree of trust, simply acknowledging the other person, saying hi, asking about the kids, the fam, whatever, may be enough to make them feel seen and understood, right? And appreciated.
Yes.
Right. But I'm not gaining additional trust in that environment, because the trust comes from what I call a paired interview. You can't call it a coffee anymore, because is it Zoom? Is it coffee? Is it breakfast? Is it lunch? Right. But I call it a paired interview. Two people sitting down, or maybe at the most, a squadron of three. But anyway, so can you join groups? Yes. Do they call themselves networking groups? Yes. Are they truly building a network? No. They are lead groups. They are leads groups. And the way that you know they're not building trust and relationship is because, number one, some of those people in that group don't do good work. And number two, when you're off the roster, no one from that group will ever speak to you again in some settings, right? So that's not a trust and relationship factor, right? That's a transactional factor. And it's a problem. So having said that, you can go anywhere. I'm not trying to tell you where to go and not go. But the key is to evolve a principle of trust building and relationship building that supersedes where you are. Mm. Right. If you truly have a method for building trust and relationship with people, it doesn't matter if you meet them at the leads group. It doesn't matter if you meet them at the Chamber of Commerce. It doesn't matter if you meet them at the happy hour or the coffee hour. It doesn't matter if you meet them in the line at the grocery store, at church, or at synagogue, or you know, waiting to buy tickets to the concert. Right. People are people. Now, again, I don't think you can do a lot in that moment. But it doesn't matter where you find people. And if you're really leveraging a network, building trust and then borrowing trust to get the introduction to where you need to go, a group or a roster or a committee or a community or a chamber or an association becomes very irrelevant very quickly.
Right.
Right. Because if I'm not trying to sell to you, Claudine, I'm trying to get you introduce me to the people that will take me where I want to go. They don't know or care that we are or are not on the same roster or part of the same community. They just want to know, oh, Claudine, trust you? Oh, I'll trust you too.
That's exactly it. Yes. So that building that relationship is key. So then let's talk a little bit, Danielle, about creating your elevator pitch.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about what are the key points to having an elevator pitch and making it a great elevator pitch.
Most people hopefully have heard this somewhere along the way, but I do find that most people struggle with this, right? Yes. So if I'm going to give some general concepts, right? You know, the general key notion, you know, you focus on benefits, not features, right?
Yes.
Not I'm a financial advisor, but I help people save money. I help people feel secure about their retirement, right? Something like that. But I would say, number one, be clear yourself on target market. But people focus too much on features, not benefits, right? Sometimes people attempt to actively sell in that moment,
yes,
which won't work. So it's a bad idea because it won't work. So that makes it a bad idea. Sometimes they will be either too detailed or too general. Sometimes they will use industry lingo or jargon that the other person doesn't understand. My wife is a nurse. We have older people in our families. I hear her on the phone trying to give advice. And I'm like, they don't understand what that means. You need to use the full word, right? She's a cancer nurse. When she says met, she means metastasization. But she says Mets, and I'm like, they don't know that. The doctors and the nurses know that word. They don't know that word, right?
Right.
They tend to use jargon. And then the other thing is they tend to be unclear in the sense that they can't give the other person or fail to give the other person a visual. I'll give you a fast example. I was coaching an attorney on how to build a network, right?
Yes.
And I said, what's your target market? And he said, sophisticated legal consumers with sophisticated legal needs. Hmm. Which is a legitimate description when he's having a conversation with himself or with his team or with his partners about the business model, what they're going to pursue. But as somebody who could possibly refer people to him, that doesn't do me any good. I need, what do these people literally look like? What do they sound like? What are the words that I'm going to hear out of somebody's mouth that would allow me to go, you should be talking to Aaron? And he said, oh, and he understood what I was saying immediately, right? And he said, oh, People that have one location and they're expanding to another, particularly if it's across state lines. If they've jumped the hump from small business to big business and can't qualify for small business programs in America, right? You know, support and programs, right? If they've got, if they've gone to work from home and people are moving out of state and they need a nexus in each state and they need to understand the laws, right? If they have one successful product line, but they've just introduced another that's going to help grow, right? I see those are things people talk about. I'm growing, I'm expanding. We've gone to work from home. We're never coming back to the office, or we're coming back to the office, right? I got to move somebody back from Massachusetts that left town during the pandemic, right? Or whatever, right? Those are things that people say. I'm like, ah, see, that's something that I, as a layperson or as a business person moving through the community, can resonate. So too many times people try to describe somebody that only means something to them.
Right, right. And that excludes everybody else. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Great point. I love that.
Thank you.
Daniel, let's talk about people that are networking now, but they need additional guidance in networking.
Sure.
So when those folks come to me and say, well, gosh, you know, I network all the time. I'm, you know, 30% of my day is spent networking in person or on Zoom, but I'm not getting the results that I want. What do you say about that?
I'm not surprised. Most people aren't. And by that, I mean, the people that I get introduced to that are described as very fully networked or very good at networking or a well-networked individual don't go out in public. I mean, I'm sure they go to church in the store, but they don't belong to groups. They don't belong to associations. They don't show up at meetings and events because they are successful at it. Meaning the people that I see at events over and over are the people that by definition haven't mastered the art of network building versus the casual networking that they're already doing. Okay. So the first point is to ask yourself to flip it and say, if I'm not getting referrals, why is that? And the only way to answer that is say, why am I not giving referrals? And I don't mean that if you give leads, you'll get leads. That's not what I mean at all. I don't know if you're referable, Claudine. I'll take leads from you, right? We've just met. You got a lead for me? I'll take it. Maybe if I get to know you better, maybe I wouldn't take it, right? I don't know. But anyway, at this moment, I'll take it, right? Mm-hmm. Could be a suspect, not a prospect, but you know, I'll take it. But I have yet to determine if you're trustworthy enough for me to send you a referral. This is key for two reasons. Number one, that means you're in the same boat. Just because I gave you my card does not mean you're going to send business my way. Mm-hmm. Not with an endorsement. You may say, I met a guy that does the thing. I have no idea if he's any good or not, but he does the thing. So you should talk to him and see if you can figure out if he's any good. You may introduce me, but you won't refer or endorse me. So if I'm not getting them, it's for the same reason I'm not giving them. We don't trust each other yet to do the work. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the best way to get referrals is from what I call a key referral partner, which is somebody where we built mutual trust and we support each other with the degree of mutuality, not necessarily lead for lead, prospect for prospect, dollar for dollar, but a sense that you're feeling supported because I provide resources, connections, prospects when appropriate to me at roughly the same rate you're providing them. You know, I'm providing them to you as you're providing them to me, right? So the best way, so the first question is, are you supporting other people? But underlying that is, have you found people that you can feel good about supporting and that you've convinced, for lack of a better word, built trust to support you? And when I talk about that, if you'll allow me to give a second answer, right? If you've got questions, you need to fire at me. It comes down to the fact that they're asking, they need to ask better questions. And I'll solidify this with one very quick visual. And by the way, this is a yes or no question. One person thought I wanted him to list names. You'll see why this is funny in a second. But here's the question. Are there people in your world that you would have your house for game night, Sunday dinner, or go to the bowling alley with that you wouldn't actually hire to do what they do for you or your family?
No.
Are there people you would socialize with that you wouldn't actively engage in business with?
No.
Oh, okay. Most people say, oh, heck yeah. Bob's a great guy, but you know, he runs his business very poorly, right? You know, now, not that they know a lot of them, but everybody I've ever asked that from is like, oh yeah, I've got a great friend. He's fun at parties. He's an alcoholic. He's a realtor. I would not hire him to sell my house, right? Okay. The flip side of that is, are there people that you do business with or refer business to that you don't picture at your house for Sunday dinner, game night, or at the bowling alley with.
So are there people at your house that you would invite?
Okay. Are all your friends business connections? And are all your business connections friends? And the answer is always no, and no. That's my point. So people are asking the wrong questions. They're trying to find out who's a nice person.
Right.
That is wholly insufficient for determining if I can trust you to do your job.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
The distinction is what are the questions we're asking? The ones that our parents gave us when they sent us off to the big middle school or high school or college, be polite, ask about other people, inquire about their families, right? That's how you make friends. Mm-hmm. Great. If all you want to do is make friends, here we go. I'll sum it up this way. In the sentence that you've heard 1,000 times, probably said 100 times, people do business with folks they know, like, and trust.
That's right.
In that sentence, what is the most important word?
Trust.
Nope, business.
Ah.
It's a trick. I've talked about trust for the last 10 minutes. It's the last word in the sentence. It is the most important of those three characteristics. But my point is, the most important one of that sentence is people do business with. If all you're doing is know, like, and trust, you're building your friends group. More power to you if that's what you want. But you can do that at the church or the synagogue or the country club. If you're trying to build a business relationship, you need to elevate the questions that you're asking.
Ah, okay. Okay. So we've always talked about, you know, building trust is important with networking and referring people, right? So couldn't it be too, Daniel, that people are just unclear of what the person's services are? Couldn't that also be another reason why they're not referring them? You could attend as many networking groups as possible, but they're just unclear.
Right.
There are several factors.
Yes. Well, and that goes back to what you said about the 30-second elevator pitch. I don't try to make anything happen there, because at the group event, whether it's speed networking or open networking or leads group or chamber or anything like that, there's no way to build trust. I might capture their attention. Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, when I wear a name tag, I put my first name and nothing else on it.
Right.
I'll take one from, you know, even though I have a nice one that I wear at conventions, when I'm at an open event like that, I will take their pen and their sticky and it says Daniel and nothing else. Mm-hmm. Because people will judge you based on what company you work for. I don't need another insurance agent in my life. I ain't talking to him. Right.
That's so true. Yeah.
Right. But people go, you didn't put your last name on there or your business. I'm like, and here we are talking.
Right. Yeah.
It draws in the no conversation and puts me in charge. But anyway, so yes, they're unclear by either they're not articulate or they'll say something like, oh, you know, well, who's your target market? And they will start the sentence with the word anybody or everybody.
That's right.
Which is number one, not true. Mm-hmm. Number two, not helpful.
Agreed.
Even if it was true, but it's not true.
Agreed.
Right. Even if you've got 18 categories that you service, ask for one at a time, but don't do it at the networking event because you haven't built enough trust to ask for that yet.
And I will tell you this, Daniel, that's a great point, because when I'm in a networking group, I'm talking with people, you know, even casually, and I say, hey, how can I help you? What's your target audience? And they say, well, everybody. That's an easy turnoff for me. I'm thinking, well, I don't think you really know what your target audience is, because there's no way that any and everybody is going to do business with you or want to do business with you.
And they're afraid that they will reduce the number of referrals they get if they give you too narrow of a scope, but they're missing the concept of what's called the paradox of too much choice.
Right.
Right. When you force me to do the work of thinking of who needs you, mm-hmm. I'd rather just not because I don't care to help you, but I've got a finite amount of thinking ability. David Allen, that wrote the book Getting Things Done, which is a great book about getting things done, says this in a very different context, but I quote it frequently. People don't like to think. It's unnatural. They do it as little as possible. And if you think that's cynical, think about your experience of driving on the roads in your own hometown. And you'll agree with me that people don't like to think. It's unnatural. And they do it as little as possible. But what I mean is, given the context where you've said to me, anybody or everybody, you're now putting the weight on me to do the thinking of who I need to refer to you. Mm-hmm. And I've got a finite capacity to think. And I'm going to think about business in a finite capacity. Whose business am I going to think about?
Myself.
Not yours. I'm going to think about mine.
That's right.
But if you say, hey, this month I'm calling on dentists, then you've got a dentist, don't you? Yeah, I do. Do your kids use the same dentist? No, they use a different one. Just out of curiosity, Ann, does your wife use the same dentist? Nope, she likes a different one altogether. You've got three leads just like that.
That's
where if you're like, oh, anybody, I'm like, okay, great, here's nobody, because you're asking me to do the thinking.
Okay. All right. That's a great point. Goodness. Okay. So So people that are already networking, Daniel, how could they enjoy networking more if they're not even liking it, but they're going to these networking events and dredging it, you know?
This podcast will bring some awareness to what they're doing, meaning they can have more enjoyment from it, knowing that they've got a few extra tools that most people don't have. Though I haven't done a whole lot of this tool in this podcast, they now have a sense of, okay, I know what I'm not doing. Right. And by the way, if somebody chokes on the anybody or everybody, send them to Laura Templeton. They can find her on LinkedIn. She's got a great little book about Yay Big called 30 Second Success. She's genius at helping people articulate target market. And if I'm stepping on your toes, Claudine, and you sell a book of the same nature, then let me get in your way. But Laura Templeton, just like it sounds, Laura Templeton. She's pure genius. Got a nice little skinny book. I think you can buy them. You know, they're probably on demand, Amazon on demand for like $10 or something. But it's really good on how to articulate that elevator pitch. But yeah, how could they enjoy it more? Number one, showing up with the frame of mind of I'm here to serve. I think that's a great way to go in a paired interview. It's a great way to go into an event, right? I was meeting with one of my friends, Rob Murray, you know, we're talking. He's like, yeah, I understand. You know, I think the best way to sit down with people is just to have no agenda. And I said, Rob, that sounds lovely. That's a terrible idea. And he's like, what? I said, nobody wants to meet with somebody with no agenda.
Yeah.
Right? Because then you're a sponge on faith. No, I said, I get what you mean. What you mean is not a selfish agenda, not a what can you do for me agenda. I said, but I think you need to walk into a room. You need to engage with a group. You need to be part of an event. You need to show up for your paired interviews with the notion that if I can serve you more than you can serve me, I'm okay with that.
Yes.
Now, there'll be moments where I serve you more than you serve me. But JPPB, maybe he serves me more than I can serve him. But maybe there's people in the world like Steve Gard, that we serve each other at roughly the same level. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does.
But I'm willing to serve more in that moment than I can, right? I created some magic for people last night, an event. It was a local association, never been to it before. Met somebody. I said, you need a good referral partner. I said, I'm having trouble thinking who that might be. Saw someone else's name tag. I said, hang on. Went over, asked her what she did. I'm like, y'all need to talk. Now, I didn't sit there and coach them on it, but I put these two companies together in real time. And I'm like, y'all need to work on building trust and refer each other. I'm like, yeah, I kind of get that. Now, they may come back to me for the roadmap. They may not. I may never see them again because I probably won't join this organization. I didn't see a lot of value from there. But I wasn't like, well, nobody here is going to give me money. So I'm just going to check out and sit in the back. I'm trying to create value in real time. And and if they do magical things and become big and famous because of that, I'll be excited for them, right? I won't be like, oh, I missed an opportunity to charge them, you know, for my expertise.
And you know what, Daniel, you can tell when someone's in a networking group just about trying to just get referrals for themselves. And it really does show through. And it's really a huge turnoff. And so people aren't going to want to do business with those folks because it really...
The trust builds way slower.
It is. It really is. Yeah. So how can folks that are already networking choose a better place to network if they're not getting the results that they want?
Yeah, choose a better place. Choose a better approach.
So not necessarily a better place, but a different approach.
Now, I will say that I have some people might say I'm triggered by, which means I have some healing to do, right? I know enough about mental health now that if I'm triggered, I have some healing to do. But I have a degree of frustration with leads groups. And the main reason I have a level of frustration with them is because they will use the word relationship and they don't mean it. If they would literally bill themselves as leads groups and they wouldn't pretend that they help people build a relationship, that wouldn't be a problem for me. But the fact that they, and some of them actually think they do, but they don't, you know, I'm like, but when you drop out, are you still going to get business? No. I said, then that's not a relationship. The guy thought for me, he goes, well, it's a contractual relationship. I'm said, Fred, that's an oxymoron. That's called a transaction. That's what that is, right? Yes. When we're done here, we're done here, right? Relationship transcends all of that.
That's right.
Right. So a better approach. But having said that, again, leads groups do wonders for people. Brand new businesses are great there because they can get business with no reputation because the simple fact that they own that, they even have them, they call them slots or chairs, right? You know, you own that chair and you'll get the business. Right. And I talked to somebody, he's like, oh, I've seen a lot of brand new businesses. They would have died without this. I'm like, okay, it's great that they give you training wheels, but they break your legs. They don't ever want to see you pedal on their own. Mm-hmm.
They want to see you keep coming back to that group. Yeah. And paying.
And that's why they can't teach relationship. Because if they taught relationship, you wouldn't need them.
That's right.
If I can get to 3 degrees of separation in a matter of hours, and I can prove that, I've got screenshots of fascinating conversations that just like that, then the room becomes irrelevant. At 2 degrees of separation, whether or not you and I sit in the same room, Claudine, is irrelevant to the next person you introduced me to, and certainly by the person on the other side of that, because they might never have heard of you either. Right. But the person you introduced me to somebody else, they don't care about it, the name or the group or the association or the any of that, right? If you show people how to build a relationship and leverage that, then the group becomes irrelevant. So that's why they can't teach it. It won't keep you coming.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay. So how can someone, Daniel, get referrals from people that aren't customers? If you're in the group that you're not networking, and then you also are networking but need a little bit more guidance, mm-hmm. how can those people get referrals from folks that really aren't their customers yet?
Okay, cool. People have a roadmap for generating trust with somebody that is a prospect on the way to customer, and hopefully maintaining trust after they become a customer. Right. That's how you keep the customer. That's how you get referrals. Whether or not they're doing a very good job of that, certainly on the referral end of it, whole nother conversation for another day. They don't have a roadmap for building trust with people that aren't going to be their customers. And they're sitting here thinking, why would somebody who's not my customer give me a referral? Let me just give you a super, super, super simple example. A real estate agent and a loan officer may never buy anything from each other, but they can do a lot of business together. They can have a huge influence on each other's business, right? A mover and a realtor, a mover and a divorce attorney and a financial planner, right? All of these things, they can be people that never buy from each other. Okay, so having said that, a referral partner, and particularly a key referral partner, comes from people that are in an adjacent, a relevant industry, not necessarily related, but relevant. I can talk forever about that, but
Daniel, we don't have time today. But Daniel, let me go back to that. And let me go back to that. And so what you mean by they don't have to work together, but they can still refer. So some people call that a having a referral, I guess kind of like a commission-based relationship.
No, finder's fees or referral are a bad idea almost universally. And I object to them in almost every case. You get fewer referrals using a finder's fee than you will using a relationship, by the way. It's much easier.
You do. I totally agree with that. Yeah. But I think, is that what you were leading to?
Well, what I mean is a real estate agent will occasionally get a call. Somebody says, I want to buy a house. And they say, how much house can you buy? And the person says, I don't know. And they go, well, you call my friend, the loan officer, right? And he'll tell you how much house you can buy. And vice versa. Some people know you start with the loan officer because why would you call a realtor until you know what size house you can buy? And they go, hey, you know, I trust you. I know you've been in the business. I want to get my loan through you, but can you name me a realtor that I should be working with? So what I mean is doing business adjacent, not revenue. Right. Not. And by the way, those two industries have rules against not doing rev shares for a whole bunch of reasons. Yeah. But anyway, they can support each other, right? And let's go back to the mover and the divorce attorney, right?
Okay. All right.
Okay. Right. Sometimes the divorce attorney knows about the move before the mover. Sometimes the mover knows about divorce before the divorce attorney, right? They can do a lot of good for each other. Okay. So anyway, without actually being customers. So people go, gosh, is it a complicated roadmap? Is it hard to build trust with somebody that's not actively your customer? And I say, no, it's not. And here's why. Why do customers refer you? Well, because they use me. No. Because they've used you and they trust you.
Trust, is it?
Right. You've got some customers in your world that probably would never send you a referral. And you've got some customers you'd probably never take a referral from too. They might be the same people, right? But how do you build trust with a customer?
Yes.
You understand your industry. You do what you say you're going to do. You keep them abreast of the situation, whatever that is, and you show up for your appointments. Mm-hmm. Does any of that have to do with being a customer? No, it's just trust delivered in a customer format. Mm-hmm. How do you build trust with a relationship, a referral partner, what I call a key referral partner? Understand your industry, do what you say you're going to do, keep them abreast of the situation, and show up for your appointments.
That's right.
It's the same trust building principle. The same elements build up trust. You're just delivering it in a different format.
Right.
You're delivering it in a different context. That's it.
Okay. So that's really key. And I love the fact that you are differentiating the two. So listen, how do people get or do business, Daniel, with friends. How does one, and I get this a lot with some of my clients, is, you know, my friends and family all know what I do, and yet they don't send me referrals or they don't send me customers or clients. What do you say to that?
Okay, well, you've asked two different questions. One, they're not doing business with you, they're not sending referrals to you, okay? Which are two different questions, but in both cases, it's a lack of trust, right? And in some cases, I recommend people not, right? If you're in real estate, I know you want your friends to do business with you, you think that'd be easy. I've watched so many friendships disappear over the level of expectations that are misaligned in a real estate transaction. I actively recommend, I said, look, you can do business with your friends as their agent or hire your friend as your agent. Just be prepared for the fact that you won't have the friendship. You might have a successful sale, but you won't have the friendship.
Right.
But aside from that, there's a lot of industries where it's not a big deal, right? If I ran an auto shop, I would expect you to get your oil change with me, right? Because that's a hard one to screw up. And you also can count on me to take good care of you if I do screw it up and forget to leave the oil cap on or whatever the case may be. Put the oil cap back on. Anyway, they are not referring because probably a couple things. One, potentially trust. Mm-hmm. Potentially, they don't. They may trust you around their child or around their wallet, but they don't trust you. They don't. I don't want to say they distrust you. They don't yet trust you. Meaning you're not in the negative. You're just still operating at zero.
You're a friend. You're not
right.
They don't.
Okay.
They know you
right.
as a great
right. They,
friend.
They've never discovered if you're good at what you do when you go off to work every day.
That's right.
The second would be what you addressed, which is they're not, you're not clear on what you need. You know who that person is. And number three, you haven't explained to them that you want referrals in this moment. You do not ask. And people don't ask because they think, well, if they care, they would send them my way. No. They don't ask because they're afraid that they're going to get turned down. And the easy way to fix that, and here's a key tool. This is your number one takeaway. This is the active component, right? Everything else has been mindset up now. This is the active component, the active step that people can write down and use. And that is to ask this question towards the end of the first paired interview or anytime after that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the question?
45 minutes into trust building. And it's this, under what conditions would you feel comfortable referring business to me? Mm. Under what conditions would you feel comfortable referring business to me?
Okay.
And if the answer from my brother-in-law is Dan, you know, I never am going to. I will pass you the mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving and happily sit next to you and throw darts when it's all over. But that time you poured my concrete and jacked it up so bad, I just can't in good conscience refer you. I know I was a one-off and you do a lot of good work, but it's not going to happen. Wouldn't I want to know that?
That's right. Yeah.
Right. But also they may go, we're good. Now, they may give you a low stakes referral first, a small job, a small prospect, something that's hard to screw up on your way to trust building. But some people tell you we're good right at the beginning, right? But you've never found out what it takes to get permission to ask them for a referral. And people don't ask because they're still not sure they've done enough to earn it yet.
Right.
Right. What if they said, oh, I would never do that, Colleen, because we have an in-house division. I mean, we never talked about it. It's not on my business card, but we have an in-house division that does what you do. You're never going to get leads from me. Wouldn't I want to know that?
You wouldn't have known if you didn't ask. Yeah.
I'd like to know that sooner rather than later.
That's right.
So the trust isn't there. They don't know what you're looking for. And you didn't ask them and say that we need to be doing this. Mm-hmm. And you didn't ask because you didn't set the tone that I'm pursuing this relationship on a quest to supporting each other with appropriate referrals.
Okay. Daniel, this has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation with you. And you've given our audience and myself wonderful advice and nuggets there and one of the most important things is differentiating between a lead group and a networking group. That's so important because I feel as though there are quite a few people that waste their energy in networking groups or their expectations of these
their expectations groups. Their expectations.
Yeah. So the expectations of these networking groups are so way off, and in talking with you, you know, even with myself, I've even realized that to some extent, right? So thank you so much for that. And I want to ask you two last questions.
Sure.
If our listening audience could have one takeaway from what we talked about today, and I've already told you what my one takeaway is just a few minutes ago, but what is your takeaway?
That network building is a slightly more sophisticated version of whatever you're calling networking now, meaning the distance between where you are and where you want to be is actually not that large. that it fundamentally comes down to clarity, asking better questions, being clear about what you need, and being clear that you need it, right? But if there was an action step that's going to make the biggest difference, it's finding the appropriate time to ask the question I gave just a moment ago. Under what conditions would you feel comfortable referring business to me?
Right.
Now, that's not the only key, right? But if that's all somebody incorporated, they're going to find some pretty interesting differences in their results, to be sure.
Yeah, and then that will tell you which direction to go with that person.
Tells you a lot.
Easily, by asking that one simple question up front. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the second question I have for you is, what is one piece of advice, Daniel, that you wish someone had given you when starting this business?
This business.
Because I know that you've had several and been successful at all of them.
Thank you.
Yes.
It took two launches to get it right because I did not understand network building. And I launched it thinking that my old skills would be sufficient. So that's part of my journey. By the way, I would always want to take advice from people that used to suck at it, but don't anymore. Somebody who's naturally good at something is good for getting the job done. They are almost universally useless at training on how to get the job done because they don't understand why they're good at it. It's subconscious or natural for them. So you want to find somebody that had to fight their way to the top. And that would be me in this case, other people too, but I'm just saying I was not naturally good at this. I'm gifted at talking to people. I love people, love talking to anybody, but to actually build the trust to get to what I needed to do is a totally different situation. Don't overestimate how much support people need in building the right relationship once they've met the right person. Meaning the roadmap component of this, I've been doing this over 6 years. The roadmap component of this didn't show up until about year four of my business. Now, they were getting results, but they weren't getting maximum results because they weren't shown what to do next once they had the right connection, once they'd met the right person or people, how to maximize the value from that, right? It still turned into pretty much, do you know anybody that's going to buy my product, as opposed to saying, let's strategize together how we can support each other. And maybe you don't know many people that could buy what I offer, but do you know people that would know people? Who right. should I be building my network with if it's not primarily you?
And Daniel, people really aren't asking for what they need. That's a key factor as well.
You know, right. But let's not skip to the headline, right? I've attended two different events where people walked up to me and I'm like, oh, hey, and like, yeah, I got a new job, you know, and I'm working for XYZ company. And who do you know that's going to buy what I'm offering? I mean, props for asking entirely too soon.
Build that trust first.
I mean, but see, that's the way they do it at leads groups. You show up and you announce your title and people pass you slips of paper and it works for them. So they think that's what works, or they weren't trained to do anything but that because they only have one modality. Are you going to be my customer? Can you lead me to a customer? Right. I mean, I remember one lady in particular, a nice woman, came up to me. She's like, you know, this is who I work for, right? This is what we offer, right? Who you know that needs what I offer? I bet a lot of your clients, because she knew about me because I'm a networker, right? She's like, I know who you are. You know, you probably have a lot of your clients probably need me too. I'm in my head, I'm going, ma'am, you never asked me how I feel about your organization. You never asked me how I feel about your offer. You never asked me how I feel about you. And it's going downhill fast. You never asked me how I feel about your husband, who's the one that introduced us. I mean, I do like her husband. I'm not trying to imply that I don't, but she investigated none of the trust components before she asked. So let's not get the ask too early. But if you're going to go through the effort of building the trust, don't forget the ask.
Then ask. Yes, yes. But the key is to build trust first and build that relationship. Okay. Yep. Daniel, it's been a pleasure having you on the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. There's so much information that you shared with us. That's so important. So tell my listening audience where we can find you.
That's fun. If I had a printed readout or, you know, access to QR codes where I could do a lot of things. So I'm just going to take them to one central app.
And Daniel,
I'll tell you in a moment.
Yeah. What I'll do is on the show notes, I can have all of that on.
Right. And I'll make sure you get that. I'm just saying, if people are listening, I'm not going to try and spell out my LinkedIn profile or my Facebook business page, right? There's too many letters there, right?
Yeah.
So as they're scrambling for a pad and a pen, right? So they can write this down. I will tell you that if you Google my full name, Daniel Patrick Andrews, you will not find me because there is a bombastic politician out of Australia that it dominates the first 1 million Google hits.
Oh,
but I bought the URL, Daniel Patrick like St. Patrick's Day. Today we're on St. Patrick's Day. Daniel Patrick Andrews, S at the end, like a man's name, Andrew, S at the end, DanielPatrickAndrews.com. It is a placeholder website. It's got a couple of cool photos and it brags about my bio. It exists so that I can tell you where to go to find me, right?
Okay.
There's one page on there that you got to kind of dig for. It's all of my 40 testimonials compiled in one spot. Don't think that the website's going to tell you everything you need to know. I will give you one other site. And because I trust you, Claudine, if this blows up, I'll be in trouble. But I've got a website where you can book 15 minutes with me just to see what happens next. Tidy, like meeting up, tidycal.com/Daniel P. Andrews.
Great.
tidycal.com/Daniel P. Andrews. And just look for the link that says 15 minutes. I just turned it on before I did this podcast. I'll probably turn it off in a month or sooner if this blows up and like 87 people are on it. But I'm happy to speak there to people, connect with them on LinkedIn, share our URLs, give them a couple of resources that I publish online, some workshops that I do, and some other things too. But rather than try and give you all that stuff now, I'd actually rather invest the 15 minutes to get to know your audience and see what resources they need besides just connecting with Daniel Andrews. Because maybe they don't need Daniel Andrews. Maybe they need something else. But if they'll connect with me for 15 minutes, I can share those resources with them and figure out what they need. And how
fantastic. Thank you, Daniel. And I also want to tell our listening audience too that you don't have to be located in South Carolina. Daniel works with Zoom or whatever virtual platform that you all.
And I keep that first one to 15 minutes because I don't want anybody to think I'm going to try and sell anything. I am not. Right. I just want to find out who you are and what serves you in the world. The odds are about 1 in 10 that it would be me. But even if it is me, we will schedule a separate appointment to talk about the fact that you might need me and I might need you. But I'm willing to give that time to your audience because there are just so many fun resources out there that I can hook them up with. And the only way I can do it without a whole lot of text threads going through the screen here, you know, it's the best way to do it. I'll commit 15 minutes of my life to learn about them and pointing them in the right direction.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Daniel. It's all about building that trust too. All right. So my friends, thank you so much again for listening in on the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. You can find this episode and other episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and comment. Daniel Andrews, thank you so much again, my friend. It's been a pleasure talking with you. I know that
this
we're going to talk.
Thrill.
Thank you so much. You guys, let's impact together. Until next time, we'll talk soon.